Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons, filling in for Christian Arcan tonight. And thank you to Tom Carroll, who joined us last segment, talk a little Patriots. If you missed any of the show, Odyssey app, WEEI.com, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, you can find it on all those places. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can find it. I started the show talking Red Sox. I'm going to actually talk Red Sox later this hour. Then I transitioned to some Patriots, and I gave you, before Tom came on, the three position groups that I feel the most better about than I did from 2024 to now. So now I'm going to give you the three position groups I have the most concerns about heading into training camp, because I think there's been a lot of talk around the Patriots of, all right, they can win 8 games, they can win 9 games, they can fight for a playoff spot. And I think they can. But I think they have some big questions to answer before they do that. And the first one, look, this is obvious. I know it's the offensive line. Right, you look at this offensive line. Go back to last year. Their pressure rate, right around 40%. So that means 4 out of every 10 times a quarterback dropped back to throw, he was under pressure. Sacks, near the bottom of the league. Running game was all over the place last year. Like, Antonio Gibson had that 45-yard run against Seattle. And, like, they had some pretty good plays here and there. Like, some good, you know, legit runs. But then, again, Stevenson had 7 fumbles. They had a lot of negative runs as well. So this offensive line, they've invested in it, right? They draft Will Campbell at 4th overall. They have Morgan Moses. They signed to a 3-year contract. Mike Onwenu got a huge contract extension a year ago. They signed Garrett Bradbury and draft Jared Wilson at center. So they've made investments here. But I think each of those investments, if you will, has a real question. And look, I think Will Campbell is going to be a good tackle. I know there's a lot of people that disagree with me, but I think he will. And I think it's because of his feet, and it's because of his hands, and it's because of his football IQ. But that arm length is a real question. And he's 6'6", but 320, maybe he needs to add 10 or 15 pounds of muscle. Like, there are questions there. And even if he's good, he's still a rookie, right? So there are questions there. Left guard is a massive question. I mean, Cole Strange, towards the end of 2023 and some playing time, looked okay, but that's really all he's given you in his career so far. So I don't know about Cole Strange at left guard. And then he's going to be battling against Layden Robinson, who I thought had some potential last year in training camp, but didn't give them anything during last year. Sidy Sow in 2023 looked like he was going to be a big part of their offensive line's future. And last year he barely played. He was getting reps here and there at fullback. And I don't know if that was a coaching issue last year or if he really did regress, because he never really played O-line last year, so it's tough to tell. So your left guard, you have 3 guys battling, and all 3 are question marks. And if you want to include Wilson there, because, look, second team All-SEC center at Georgia last year, ran a 4.8 40-yard dash, supremely athletic, but limited experience, but athletic enough to be a guard. But still, that's another guy with questions. And so let's talk about him with center. Garrett Bradbury, and Tom Carroll mentioned this, the Vikings, a team that could be a Super Bowl contender. If J.J. McCarthy's good, they're a Super Bowl contender. They were totally okay letting him go. That to me, that says something. And if you were into PFF grade, he was one of the lower graded centers in the league last year. I don't know if you're into that or not, but I think it's worth mentioning at the very least. Ben Brown, I think that's a backup level player. And again, Jared Wilson, I'm a huge fan, but he's only played 1 year at Georgia, only started 1 year. So you have questions at center. And don't be surprised, folks, if at some point this season, I don't know if it'll be the end of training camp, but by the end of the season, if Jared Wilson is the starting center, or at the very least out there, whether it's a guard or at center. So you have a player at left tackle, Will Campbell, that I like a lot, but there are some fair questions. You have a huge question mark at left guard, and you have multiple fair questions at center. So then you go to right guard. That should be your most surefire position with Mike Onwenu, a guy who came into the league in 2020, who was one of the best right tackles in the league, has played some guard. He's been mostly good. But we saw last year some real inconsistent play. And then there's reports, there's observers who say he looks out of shape in minicamp this year. Now, it's been a month since minicamp. We'll see if he's in better shape. But that's a guy you need to be there and you need to be good. And I think it was Tommy Curran. I don't want to misquote him, but Tom Crisafulli, if you heard this, didn't you have him as a potential surprise cut candidate, Mike Onwenu?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was Kyle Duggar and Mike Onwenu.
Yeah, so, and I trust Tommy Curran's reporting on that. So you need Onwenu to be there and you need him to be good. And then, of course, right tackle. I like Morgan Moses. He played over 1,000 snaps 5 times in his career, but he's in his mid-30s and he was a little banged up last year. Didn't miss a ton of time, but he's a little banged up. So your offensive line, I think it's better than a year ago. I really do. And I know I just listed off all the problems with it. Last year, you had the worst offensive line in the NFL, whether it's you want to measure pressure rate, sacks, running game, or just watch it with your eyes, you're the worst offensive line in the NFL. It will be better this year, but you can't equate better to just being great or even very good. Like them going from 32 to 24 would be a huge improvement, but it would still be a bottom third offensive line, still be the 24th ranked offensive line. So that's the position. Obviously, like Drake May, quarterback, most important position. The thing I'm watching most closely in training camp when I go down there is going to be the offensive line. So that's the first position group that I have concerns and questions about heading into camp. Second one is one that maybe we haven't had questions about in a long time, but it's safety. And I think you go back to last year, Kyle Duggar to me, and I know he was kind of in that also receiving votes / honorable mention category of the ESPN top 10 players at each position. I thought last year he was all over the place. Had a few good moments, but I thought on the whole didn't play that well. Did battle an injury. It just feels to me like he's a player that's kind of plateaued. He's all right. He's good. And down in the box, right, against the run, he's really good. Pass coverage, he's all right. It feels like that's who he is. Again, not bad, but I think, you know, there was some hope early in his career he would be this really, really good player. I don't know if he's going to be that guy. But I think, again, we'll see this, but that's a real question. Was it mostly the injury hampering him last year? Was the coaching not good enough? I want to know how Kyle Duggar looks in training camp this year. Patriots have an out in his contract after this year, by the way. Another guy the Patriots have an out in the contract with after this year, Jabril Peppers, another safety. And these are two guys that in 2023, one of the better safety tandems in the league. Peppers was a great, again, I know 2023, they won 4 games. Mac Jones was a disaster. Zappe wasn't much better. Belichick got fired. Again, they had a good defense that year. We might forget because we have, you know, trauma from that year, but they had a good defense. And Peppers and Duggar were a big part of it. But I think now Peppers missed some time last year with off-the-field stuff. I know that's behind him now, but missed a ton of time. Turns 30 in October. I think he's still going to be good. Seems like he's a leader. He was in that clip we played earlier from Forged in Foxborough. But I think it's a fair to question to see how does he look in training camp. And then you have Craig Woodson, who I personally am high on. They drafted him in the 4th round. And I think Craig Woodson's a guy. They haven't had a real free safety to me since Devin McCourty retired. And we saw some guys like Jaylen Hawkins get snaps back there. We saw, I think he had 3/4 of a snaps free safety. We saw Marte Mapu get some snaps back there. So they've used some guys there. Marcus Jones, even in 2023, got a couple snaps deep. But I look at Craig Woodson as a guy, 6'0", 210, Third team all ACC last year, you know, 69 tackles, 2 interceptions, 7 pass breaks up. A 4.45 40-yard dash, which was 5th among safeties. And if you look at his snaps last year, I'm not going to go through them all. He played most of his snaps at free safety, played a ton at strong safety in the box, and he played some slot corner. So you know he can get over the top. You know he can play pretty well down low against the run. You know he can cover all right, and you know he's fast. So to me, I think that is going to be your free safety if you're the Patriots by the end of the year. And then again, Marte Mapu, I thought, was one of 3 players total that got better last year, May and Milton being the other 2. But still, we haven't seen a ton out of him. Same with Del Pettis, same with Jalen Hawkins, right? We just haven't seen a lot out of any of these guys. So I think it's fair to question what you're going to get out of Kyle Duggar. Is he fully healthy? What you're going to get out of Jabril Peppers, who I am more optimistic about, but still missed a lot of time last year. And what you're going to get out of the rookie Craig Woodson, who I think is eventually going to be good. I don't know if he's a week one starter. And I think the biggest position battle to watch this year, and I know I asked Tom Carroll his opinion, ironically, is not a true position battle. And I talked about this on the Six Rings podcast with Fitzy today. I think the biggest battle to watch in training camp is going to be between Craig Woodson and Marcus Jones. And I know what you're thinking. Well, they play different positions. Right. But what I want to know is, does Mike Vrabel, when he goes at an extra defensive back, does he want to play 3 corners or does he want to play 3 safeties? And if Craig Woodson is better in training camp, he's going to play 3 safeties with Duggar, Peppers, and Woodson to start. If Marcus Jones is better, he's going to play 3 corners with Gonzalez, Davis, and Marcus Jones. So that, to me, I know the offensive line is the number one biggest unit I'm watching, and the next thing I'm watching is Drake May. But the biggest quote-unquote position battle, it's actually going to be a safety versus corner battle, and it's going to, I think, determine how they play defense. So safety's one I have question about. There are, I know I mentioned, I said 3. There's really like 3.5. Because linebacker, I like Robert Spillane a lot. But beyond him, Tavai got hurt in minicamp. I think Tavai himself, he's had some good moments in pass coverage. I don't think he's a great cover linebacker. I don't think he's great against the run. Ellis, to me, is a special teamer. So that off-ball linebacker position, beyond Spillane, I have depth questions. So that's kind of like a half one. The other group, though, that I have real questions about, and this might surprise you, it's tight end. And look, Hunter Henry is a really good player, right? He was an honorable mention in that top 10 list in ESPN. I think he's right around the 9th or 10th best tight end in the NFL. 66 catches last year, 674 yards. He's a captain. Last time he worked with Josh McDaniels in 2021, he had 9 touchdowns. He was great. So I think he's a really good player. The problem is I don't know what you have beyond him. Austin Hooper had a good connection with Drake May last year, had a great catch in that Bears game against Chicago down the right sideline, had some good moments, but I think he's more at this point in his career, he's a journeyman backup who maybe you get one more decent year out of, but I wouldn't bet on it. And again, a new offense as well for him to learn. That was one of the advantages he had last year. He kind of knew that Van Pelt offense from his time in Cleveland. Doesn't have that advantage now with the McDaniel scheme. So I don't know what you're going to get out of Hooper. And then Jaheim Bell, 1 catch in his career. And he was used at Florida State partly as an athletic tight end, partly as a big running back. And I think it's worth keeping that guy around in camp, seeing if you can develop him because there's some cool athletic traits there. But still, I'm not betting on that guy to be a big piece of my offense. And then they have some, you know, undrafted free agents, C.J. Dupree, the Bama, you know, really good blocking tight end, but not much of a pass catcher. G. Scott Jr., who was actually a wide receiver recruit at Ohio State, added 30 pounds there, transitioned to tight end. Maybe you get something out of him. Westover, if they keep him around, might be a fullback in this off. So, again, a lot to like about Hunter Henry. It's just I huge questions behind him. So going into camp, again, the offensive line, number one biggest thing I'm watching. Next biggest thing is Drake May. And then when I think about position groups, how do they look at safety? Like, that's a concern of mine. What's the depth at off-ball linebacker? That's a real concern, right? What's the depth at tight end? And I guess some of that's the product of they've been a bad team the last few years. So, and that's a lot of times the difference between the good teams and the below-average teams in the NFL is depth, right? There's a lot of teams that have good starters or multiple good starters, and then a guy goes down, they don't have the depth. Whereas you look at the good teams, right? The Eagles have depth. The Ravens have some depth. Obviously, they can't lose Lamar Jackson or Derrick Henry. But on the whole, like, they have pretty good depth there. Right? Chiefs, depth. Right? These good teams have real depth. Even the Bengals. Jamar Chase gets hurt. You have T. Higgins, right? Like, there's some depth there. They need to work on their old line. But, like, there's depth. So the good teams, to me, that I expect will be really good this year, have real depth. And I just think the Patriots being a bad team the last 2 years don't quite have that. So that's the three groups, again, I'm most concerned about right now. Offensive line, safety, tight end, and an honorable mention to linebacker as well. So it's like 3.5. But talking Patriots for about the last, a little over the last hour, really, ever since Travion Henderson signed his contract. I want to go back to Red Sox next segment. I'm going to revisit something I mentioned earlier, but I want to get back to what is the Red Sox ceiling? How much of their stretch coming up is going to tell us about that ceiling? And at 8:45, I'm going to give you a couple hypothetical Red Sox trades, and they're realistic, I think. If you think I'm an idiot, you can call in or text in and say it. But I think realistic trades they could make to help bolster their rotation. All that coming up right after we trend with Tom Crisafulli.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox failed to make it 11 in a row tonight, losing their first game back from the All-Star break. Giolito went 5 1/3, giving up 4 hits. One of those was a 3-run shot in the very first inning of the game. The final score was 4-1 Cubs. The Sox played game 2 of the 3-game series against the Cubs tomorrow night. Coverage starts here on WEEI at 6:15 with the Mass Mutual pregame show and our guy, Joe Weil. First pitch is at 7:15. Brian Bello is on the mound for the Sox tomorrow. And per Adam Schefter, the Patriots have reached a fully guaranteed contract agreement with second-round draft pick Travion Henderson, 4-year, $11 million deal. And with this signing, the Patriots have officially signed their entire rookie draft class just 4 days ahead of the start of training camp. I'm Tom Crisafulli, and that's what's trending here on WEEI and WEEI.com. More John Lyons coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everything. everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons. Just finished talking some Patriots. Might get back to it later in the show. But can I go back to Red Sox now? And before I do that, we do have a texter from the 207 wants to know why Crochet didn't start today. Alex Cora did say before the break they wanted to space out some of his starts, at least coming back from the break. So he will start on Sunday and then the following Saturday against the Dodgers, July 26th. So that's his next couple starts lined up. And again, with Crochet, he's already thrown 129 in the third innings this year, only threw 146 all of last year, and last year was his first year as a starter. So I think it's smart of the Red Sox to manage that, and I know he probably could have thrown more last year. The White Sox are being careful. I get it, but still, I'd want the Red Sox to be a little bit careful with that. And with that in mind, I want to get to what is this Red Sox team's ceiling? Because they win 10 in a row before the All-Star break, they move into wild card position. They come out and lose a tough one today, 4-1. And we did see some of those bad habits from April, May, early June show themselves today in that Giolito walked the first two guys he faced before giving up the home run. We saw a base running mistake from Abraham Toro. We saw a drop ball in the outfield, which was kind of in between Alex Bregman and Jaron Duran. That ultimately didn't hurt them in that inning. But we saw, again, some of those little things, errors, base running, not getting enough timely hitting. Red Sox had 7 hits, but just that one run. Some of those things that hurt them. So, look, we'll see if that's the start of them trending backwards or just a blip on the radar. I think they've played well enough for over the last few weeks to earn the benefit of the doubt right now. All right, but just something to keep an eye on. And I bring that up because they lose to the Cubs today, and they're right now beginning a stretch. And a lot of people have talked about it, I know, that is the toughest stretch they've had this season. I also think it's the toughest stretch they've had at any point since their 2021 playoff run. And part of that is because they just weren't really good enough to be worthy of having a difficult stretch of the season the past few years. But you look at it, 3 games against the Cubs, first one they lost today. Cubs are a team, to me, borderline World Series contender. I want to see a little bit more of it. Do those bats keep up to that level? But, you know, right on that fringe. And the Cubs, 6-4 before the All-Star break, came at a good time for them, whereas bad time for the Red Sox. Philly, who they're playing after that, was 5-5 going into the break. We'll see if they're re-energized after that and able to kind of reset themselves. But that's a legit World Series contender. We talked all offseason about the Mets, right, and adding Juan Soto and all these things they've done in NLCS last year. Phillies are the team in first place. Phillies were in the NLCS a few years ago and the World Series before that, right? So this is a really, really good team. World Series contender. Then they have 3 at home against the Dodgers. And I know the Dodgers, 3-7 going into the break, but they're still the Dodgers. And you're still going to face Ohtani, and you're still going to face Betts and Teoscar Hernandez. You're still going to face, I think you're getting Yamamoto 1 game, Kershaw another. I'm not sure exactly how that's lining up for the Sox that series, but it's still the Dodgers. So that's 9 games against teams that are, in the Phillies and Dodgers case, legit World Series contenders. In the Cubs case, I'd say fringe World Series contender. But see, that's the thing. It's not just those 9 games. And we've talked a lot about those 9 games. But look after that. In the first 2 weeks of August, they play the Astros, another World Series contender, 6 times, 3 down there, 3 up here. And they have to go to San Diego, play the Padres, a World Series contender for 3 games. So by my count, between now and August 13th, they're going to play 18 games against World Series contenders. That's a brutal stretch coming up. They're 0-1 so far. We'll see if they bounce back tomorrow. Can they go 6-3 in these next 9? I'd jump up and down. If they can at least go 5-4, I'll be content. And then over the course, can they be at the end of this stretch on August 13th in the same spot they are now, solidly in the wild card? Right? Can they be in that same spot? That's what I would really ideally like to see. So that gets me thinking, what is this team's real ceiling then? And I think this next month is going to tell us a lot. And oh, by the way, in the middle of this next month is the trade deadline. And I said last week, here on EEI, and I stand by it, the Red Sox should not be waiting till the trade deadline to be aggressive. And some of that, I know it takes two to tango. Maybe there's teams that won't want to give guys up until right at the deadline. And that's fair. But if there are opportunities out there before the deadline, I think the Sox need to strike early. Because I look right now at this team, and a lot of people, whether it's on this station or around Boston, Red Sox fans, and I'm a Red Sox fan myself. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, you see me have Red Sox hat on. I'm obviously a Red Sox fan. But a lot of people said, well, their ceiling could be to get to the World Series. And Jeff Passan said on the Pat McAfee show that the Red Sox are going to add a pitcher, and if they add that pitcher, their ceiling will be a team that can get to the World Series. And I would agree, if they add the pitcher, their ceiling can be to get to the World Series. I think right now, as currently constituted, the Red Sox ceiling is to get to the ALCS and lose there. And if everything goes right. Because you look at who would they play in an ALDS or an ALCS. Some of the contenders out there. Detroit. Now, I know Detroit hasn't gone deep in the playoffs a lot recently, but neither of you. But you look at Detroit. Well, Tarek Skubal is just as good as Garrett Crochet. So in a lot of series, you would have an advantage early on with Crochet. And you might say, hey, Crochet will win me two games in this series. Against the Tigers, that might be a wash. Crochet might win you one. Skubal might win you another. Maybe there's a third time they match up if you get to a game six or seven. And then it's a coin flip. But it's not the advantage it is over most other teams. So then you look beyond that. Casey Mize was an all-star this year for that Tigers pitching staff. 9-3, 3.15 ERA, 77 Ks. So that's the guy who started the all-star game in Skubal. That's another all-star in Mize. Reese Olson, he missed the month of June. He would have been an all-star if he had pitched in June. He's still a couple starts in July working his way back, but he's got a 2.95 ERA. So that's really a third all-star caliber pitcher in their rotation. I know he didn't make it because he was hurt in June. Third all-star caliber pitcher. And then there's Jack Flaherty, who I know is not having a good year this year, but he was really good for Detroit last year, so you know that's in him. And he went to L.A. last year, didn't pitch that well in the postseason, but at least he won the World Series. And much like I said for the Red Sox when they added Walker Buehler this year, I think it's really valuable to have a guy in your rotation with World Series experience. Of course, Flaherty's been much better than Buehler. So Detroit has three all-star caliber pitchers in their rotation. Right, and another guy that's won a World Series. Red Sox right now, they have an elite pitcher in Crochet. They can't match that. So then you go to the Yankees. They have two all-star caliber pitchers in their rotation. Fried would have been on the all-star team. Right, 2.43 ERA, eighth in the majors. He wasn't there. Still dealing with that finger injury. So who replaced him? Teammate Carlos Rodon with his 3.08 ERA. So that's two all-star caliber pitchers in their rotation. And then Devin Williams has been much better since June 1st at the end of their bullpen. And another piece of the Yankees, too, at some point Aaron Judge is going to have a good postseason. I don't know if it's going to be this year. I don't know if it's going to be in 2033. I don't know. But you don't want to really keep risking that, right? So he's at some point, and then you look at the rest of their lineup. Paul Goldschmidt has had a career resurgence there, hitting 287. Jazz Chisholm was just in the home run derby. Cody Bellinger's hitting 280. So that's a Yankees team that went to the World Series last year, and you could make the case they're better this year, as long as Fried comes back healthy. And then the other one that I think is likely that you would face in ALCS is Houston. Second in the majors in batting average, and they have two all-star caliber pitchers, Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez. And then it's possible you could face Toronto. I'm not as scared of them, though their offense is really good. Especially, you know, best batting average in the majors, rotation's not as good. But you look at it, when I say, what is the Red Sox ceiling? I think it's everything goes right. Keep the same roster. The Red Sox ceiling right now, if everything goes right with what they have, I think it's to get to the ALCS. And I think once they get there, they'll find out that they have a game one starter in Crochet. They have a game three starter in Bayo. They have a game four starter that's probably Giolito, but they're missing that game two starter. And they're going to go up against a team like Detroit that has an ace in Skubal who's just as good as Crochet. But then behind him, they have Casey Mize and Reese Olson and then Jack Flaherty for game four. Or they're going to go up against the Yankees, who have two all-star caliber pitchers in their rotation with histories of being good players. Or they're going to go against Houston, who have two all-star caliber pitchers in their rotation. So again, as good as Brian Bayo has been since June 1st, and he's been much better, right? 12 walks since June 1st. He had 16 in May. Had a complete game, giving you a bunch of quality starts. He's been a lot better since June 1st, and I give him credit. And as good as Giolito has been since June, and I give him credit, I think those other rotations have an edge, and I think that's going to make the difference. I think the Red Sox bullpen is really good. I think their lineup has been much better over the past month, even after they traded Rafael Devers. But I think that's where I have concerns about them and their ceiling, is I think they're a pitcher short in that rotation. Now, me saying their ceiling is the ALCS after the way the last few years has gone is a pretty huge step up. But I think that's where over the next couple weeks I'm looking towards, can they add someone to that rotation? And I know people have talked about the bullpen, they've talked about first base, and I'm not saying those aren't needs. I'd like another bullpen arm, but their bullpen has been really good, right? Top 10 in bullpen ERA. I think they're fifth right now. 11th in innings pitch, so they've been used it quite a bit, but they've been good. And I would like to add a first base. I think you can do both. I think you can add a starting pitcher and a first baseman. But I think that's game two. That's what you should be thinking, Red Sox fans. You want Brian Bello starting game three of a playoff series. And you want Crochet starting game one. The game two starter, I don't think, is on your roster right now. Let's go to the phone, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Paul in Framingham. Let's talk about the trade deadline. Paul, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call here. I'll keep it real short and sweet. Basically, I don't agree with you. I think we need to wait to the end of the deadline and see what we do over the next 10 games or so. I mean, why would you go for the team is so bipolar and so streaky. I mean, the next 10 games, you know, we might go 2-8. I hope we go 8-2, but, you know, at least let's wait to the trade deadline and see what happens. That's my two cents.
Yeah, Paul, and look, I think thanks for the call. I think it's a fair point. This team has been all over the place. It's our team that was struggling to get to 500 for most of the year, and then they win 12 out of 13, including 10 in a row going into the All-Star break, and we felt great about them. And one loss today, like, I'm not going to sound the alarm bells, did see some of those concerning trends pop up, but I think when you look at where they're at, I would rather try to add the arm sooner, and again, this grant they're available because of the stretch coming up. Like, I think if you go to Philadelphia and you have that legit number two starter after Crochet starts on Monday in Chicago, you have that legit next guy to start one of the Philly games, then you feel a lot better about where you're at. Or if you, in that Dodgers series, you get a Crochet start and then a start from a legit pitcher you add, maybe you can take two out of three from the Dodgers instead of like last year when you got swept by him in LA, right? Or at least salvage a game. You know, we'll see. But I think it's a fair point, because if the Red Sox go 2-8 in these 10 games, you know, out of the All-Star break, maybe we're going to be sitting here saying, maybe don't add, you know, or in this 9-game stretch I've been talking about. If they go 3-6 or 2-7, yeah, we're not going to feel good about it. Maybe we're going to say, oh, same old Red Sox that have a losing record the last 3 years after the All-Star break, each of the last 3 years. So that's possible. I think they're a little bit better off than they've been the last 3 years, because if you look at the 2022 Sox, the 23 Sox, the 24 Sox, they didn't have a guy like Crochet. I know at 22, you still had Evaldi, who I take Evaldi as my second guy. But I think they have not had a guy like Crochet. They haven't had a guy really like Bregman in their lineup. As good as Devers has been from the plate and as good as Duran was last year, a guy with two World Series rings who you know you can depend on when he's healthy all year long, they haven't had really had that guy. The Roman Anthony and Meyer, as good as they've been, and their bullpen, as I mentioned, is better this year. I mean, last year, they had the 10th most bullpen innings pitched, but they were 24th in ERA. This year, they're 11th in innings, but 5th in ERA. Their bullpen has been a lot better. So I get the caller's point, and I understand the skepticism. I'm not brushing that aside, but I have more faith this year, and that's why I'd be more aggressive to add, at least before the trade deadline. So I'm going to give you two, maybe three hypothetical trades coming up after the break. But before we go to break, let's get to one more call here. We got Rob in Boston wants to talk Red Sox. Rob, welcome in. Rob, Boston.
Hey, I'm here. Sorry.
That's all right. What do you got?
So just curious, on our bullpen, I was wondering what you thought, and this is pretty absurd, but we got Tanner Hawk and we have Whitlock. Like, what if we were to make it far enough and utilize them kind of like Tampa Bay does, almost like a split-type game?
Yeah, thanks for the call. I don't think it's a bad idea. I think Hauk is an interesting piece here, because you could maybe, if you really want to get a frontline starter and there's someone available, you might have to put Hauk in that package. But if you keep Hauk around and you add a starting pitcher, I think you can move Hauk to the bullpen. And then you have two guys in Hauk and Whitlock. Whitlock, to me, is a weapon out of the bullpen. You can use him in any situation, whether it's early in a playoff game, later in a playoff game, one inning, inning in a third, inning in two thirds. Like, to me, that's a real weapon to have. And if you add on a guy in Hauk that, if you have to use a, which I would hope you won't have to use a bullpen game in the playoffs, but a guy that you know has starting experience, or one of your starters in the playoffs gets shelled early on and you can bring Hauk out of the bullpen to calm things down, that would be great. A lot of this hinges on, what does Hauk look like? Feels like he's never been the same guy since Ohtani hit that homer off him on the All-Star game, in the All-Star game last year. So, and he was bad this year, put on the IL. So we'll see what Tanner Hauk looks like. But I think it's legitimately possible that if you add a starter, Hauk could be a guy that shifts to the bullpen. So yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea for sure. But I think it hinges on, do you add a starter? Because otherwise, I think you're going to have to depend on Hauk to be that game three or game four playoff starter, and you're going to move Bayo up to two and Giolito up probably to three, right? And again, Hauk, first half of last year, Red Sox fans, you remember, it looked like a Cy Young candidate. Second half fell off. Before he got put on the IL this year, it was brutal. So just something to keep in mind. So with that in mind, coming up next, I'm going to give you some hypothetical trade scenario. I went through today, and I didn't just throw crap against the wall. I actually thought about what the Red Sox could realistically give up and some names they could realistically get back in their rotation. I know they could target first base. I know they could target somebody in the bullpen. But I focus mostly on the rotation. So coming up next, I'm going to give you some trades that I think are actually realistic for the Red Sox to make over the next couple.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Weeks back here on WEEI. I'm John Lyons filling in for Christian Arcan tonight. I am here until 10 o'clock, and I'm excited for the 9 o'clock hour, because for those that regularly listen to Arcan, you know he's got some special segments, right? There's the Dong Report, which is the most famous one, of course. There's headlines, there's Arcan Fire, there's clickbait. So we already did headlines, And next hour, Tom Crisafulli, our producer, and I, we're going to do Arcan Fire. I'm a little excited for that, Tom. We'll see if you got any good questions for me. So don't make me look bad.
They're going to be fun.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And then we got a special edition of Clickbait tonight at 9:30. Usually Arcan does it at 9:45, but I got something special planned for Clickbait at 9:30, which I think you're going to want to stick around and hear. But before I do that, I want to get into these, what the Red Sox can do, these hypothetical trades I came up with. And I know some people will say, you know, one of the stupidest things you can do is come up with hypothetical trades. But I think for the Red Sox, it's relevant in that they are clearly, to me, one starting pitcher, one good starting pitcher away from being a team with a World Series-esque ceiling. Because as I mentioned last segment, I went through it. Detroit has three all-star caliber pitchers, and the fourth guy is Jack Flaherty, who has a good track record despite not having a good year this year. Houston has two all-star caliber starting pitchers. The Yankees, two all-star caliber starting pitchers. And that says nothing about their lineups. Obviously, we know how good the Yankees lineup can be. We know how good the Astros lineup can be. Detroit had multiple all-stars in their lineup. So even taking the lineup out of it, all those teams have multiple all-star level starting pitchers. And you can say, like, in the Yankees case, like Max Fried's won a World Series. Jack Flaherty, I mentioned, won a World Series. Framber Valdez won a World Series in 2022. So they have a World Series experience too. So for the Red Sox, what can they do realistically? Right? Like, I know we want to say, oh, can they trade Jaron Duran for Paul Skeens? Like, no. But realistically, what can the Red Sox do? And there's three names that came to mind for me that I think they could realistically try to acquire at the trade deadline. Wouldn't be cheap, but I think it would be the type of acquisition that would be your game two ALCS starter. Because you have your game one guy in Crochet, get your game three guy in Bayo, game four guy will probably be Giolito, maybe Houck. We'll see how he looks when he comes back or what they do. But your game two starter, you don't have. So the first guy, and this name has been mentioned before, if you've been listening to EEI, you've heard me mention it before, and it's Dylan Cease of the Padres. And Dylan Cease, a guy having an inconsistent year this year, but he finished fourth in Cy Young voting last year. In Chicago, was a Cy Young candidate there as well. 29 years old, wasn't really good in the playoffs last year, which is fair, and he would be a rental. So I think this guy, great stuff, has a mostly good track record, but he's not having an elite year right now either, in fairness. So I went back and looked. When the Padres acquired Dylan Cease from the White Sox, they gave up their number 5 prospect, their number 7 prospect, their number 8 prospect, and one other prospect to get him. So 5, 7, and 8. And on the surface, that sounds like a lot. But the Padres system actually wasn't that deep at the time. Their fifth prospect, I think it was Drew Thorpe, but their fifth prospect there was the 85th overall prospect in the MLB. So yeah, he was fifth for the Padres, but 85th for the MLB. So their farm system wasn't that deep. So the Red Sox, as we know, have a much better farm system now than the Padres did when they got Cease. Now, to be clear, it's, you know, Kyle Teal is gone. It's not quite as good as it was. But when I look at what they could realistically give up for a rental Dylan Cease, it could be Richard Fitz. That could be a guy they want to include in that. The Padres want young pitching. They do have Michael King, a really good young pitcher. I know there's been some injury issues there. For Dylan Cease, I would consider either Jaron Duran straight up for him, because I'm starting to wonder if we've seen the ceiling. And I like Duran overall as a player. I wonder if we saw the ceiling of him in 23 and 24. And it was a great ceiling. And he's still a good player. But with Rafaela, with Roman Anthony, with Willie Abreu, it's getting to the point where I want Rafaela and Abreu on the field every single day, and Anthony's getting close to that. And maybe you want to keep Duran as insurance in case one of those younger guys tails off this year. So I would consider Duran for C straight up. If you don't want to do that, I like the Red Sox number 7 prospect, Dorian Soto, and maybe their number 20 prospect or a lower prospect there, Alan Castro, outfielder. To me, that's a realistic trade to get Dylan Cease. And I know you might say, oh, there's 7 prospect, that's a little bit of an overpay. I mean, Soto's a shortstop. I mean, you have Meyer, you have Campbell up the middle of your infield, hopefully for the next 8 to 10 years. I think you can afford that. So that's one, and that's a rental. Then there's two other names. First one is Spencer Strider with the Braves. And the Braves are in a weird spot because they won that World Series in 2021, and then they extended all those guys. And last year they got Chris Sale, wins the Cy Young, but they've had a lot of bad injury luck. right? Sales missed a little bit of time this year. Cunha has missed some time. They've had Schwellenbach is now missing a bunch of time this year. They've had a lot of bad luck, but they're still set up okay for the future. And when you look at Strider, he was an all-star in 2023. He was on the 2021 World Series team, didn't pitch that postseason, but at least he was on it. In the 2023 playoffs, when he did pitch a decent amount, two starts, 2.84 ERA. Not bad. Now, he has had Tommy John surgery. He missed all of last year. If you're the Braves, going forward, you have Chris Sale, you have Schwellenbach. Can you afford to give up Spencer Strider? And I think in order to get him, it'd either be Duran, if you're the Red Sox, but more likely, it's going to be a top five prospect. And maybe it could be Christian Campbell. I don't know if I wouldn't want to do Christian Campbell. I think it's going to be the password or Franklin Arias for Spencer Strider. And a lot of that is he's 26 and he's signed through 2028. So, and he's got a club option for 29. So to me, Strider would be probably my number one target, but he would cost the most. So Cease would be a rental where maybe you give up a top 10 prospect and a lower prospect or Duran as a rental. And you could obviously, and another thing too, don't let the Red Sox fool you into thinking you have to get a guy with term. You can trade for Dylan Cease and extend him if he's good here. You traded for Garrett Crochet and you extended him. You can do it with Dylan Cease. So Strider would be my number one target, and I know he'd cost more, but younger, more control contract-wise. Cease would be my number two. And then the third guy would be old friend Nathan Eovaldi. And look, Nathan Eovaldi, he's 35 years old. He's got 2.5 years left on his contract. He signed through the 2027 season. He did miss the month of June this year, but 7-3 with a 1.58 ERA. He's been sensational. He was a huge part of that 2023 Rangers team that won a World Series. Been sensational this year. You put that guy in game two of the ALCS after Crochet pitches game one, I feel really good about your rotation. And he has term on the contract, but because he's 35, I could see his package being closer to what you gave up for Dylan Cease. The issue there is if you're the Texas Rangers, they've been hovering right around 500 all year long, right? They are 48-49 right now, fighting kind of in that wild card mix, if you will. I mean, Red Sox are securely in the wild card. Rangers are only 3.5 games back, though, of that third wild card. So I don't know if they want to punt on it and give up Eovaldi now. And I think you could say a similar thing about the Padres and Cease, where that's a team I think is a World Series contender. If you give up Cease, I think they're going to want, say, Duran and maybe Richard Fitz or something like that back, because they're going to want someone that's going to help them pursue a World Series this year. I don't know if they're going to just want prospects. I don't know. I don't see it. So maybe Strider, despite costing the most, because the Braves are having a down year, because they have two other good pitchers, including a young one in Schwellenbach, who is going to come back from injury eventually, maybe they're the one that you can trade a top five prospect to and then a mid-20s to 30s prospect and get a guy like Strider. Some of that's going to depend on the medicals and how they feel, but I think that's, to me, those are the three targets if I'm the Red Sox I look at. Strider's my number one, cost the most, but youngest, most control. Eovaldi's going to depend. Eovaldi would probably come right down to the deadline. It would depend on how the Rangers feel. And then Cease, I'd be a big fan, but it's going to depend on, I think, what the Padres want, because I think they are World Series contenders, and you're not going to trade your ace or, when King's healthy, your 1A and not get enough back for him. So, Tom, how do you think I did?
I think you nailed it. Nobody knows more players than you.
Appreciate that. Do you have a preference on those three guys?
So, I'm not going to lie. A lot of
good.
Work
I would
going
not want
here.
You to lie on the radio. Thank you.
But I would be happy with any of them.
Okay.
Of them.
Yeah. I think if you're the Red Sox, your objective right now should be, who's your game two starter in the ALDS and then eventually the ALCS? That should be your focus, because that's what this team's ceiling could be. Of course, as the caller mentioned, your ceiling could be to, lose 8 out of your next 10 and struggle like you did in June. But we'll keep an eye on that. That's something we'll talk about maybe next week. See how they're doing through these 9 games. Coming up next, I've spent this pretty much entire show talking about the Patriots and the Red Sox, and rightfully so. Right? Biggest stories in Boston right now. But I want to do a couple things coming up. Number one, I'm going to touch on the story of Damian Lillard going back to Portland. Dame Lillard back in Portland, doesn't come to the Celtics, doesn't go to the Warriors, doesn't go to the Lakers, goes back to Portland after leaving Milwaukee. I'm going to discuss that, and then we're going to do the traditional Arcan Fire segment, Tom and I are, coming up next at the start of the final hour of the Christian Arcan Show tonight on this Friday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.